to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast today. And this is Christmas Eve. My understanding is the weather is supposed to get a little cooler and a little more Christmas-like. Now, you've got to understand that I've spent time up in the Chicago area, and I've been snowed in on Christmas. And so when it is cool and there is no snow on the ground, I absolutely love that. I've got friends out in Oklahoma, and earlier in the month of December, they just got blasted with a snowstorm. And I want you to know that I do feel for people when they're going through things. And they were posting, you know, pictures of 8 inches of snow on their lawn furniture, and I was like, you know, those pictures look absolutely beautiful, especially from Florida. And so I thank God that He has called us to Merritt Island, to Merritt Assembly of God. It's an honor and a privilege to pastor this wonderful church, and I pray that you are set for a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. Hopefully you're not stressing too badly today. Things will be closing a little bit earlier today. You might want to check your bank times. You might want to check the hours that people are shopping. So just as you're driving, I just want to encourage you, be careful and be on the lookout for those around you, to make sure that you do stay safe. There's a lot of traffic on the roads, and so just take, you know, some extra care as you're driving out on the roads today. Today at 6 o'clock tonight, we will begin our Christmas communion service, and we would like to invite you to be a part of that. If you do not have a church that you are worshiping at, I pray that you won't sideline Jesus during this time, but instead you would put Him first. When you put Him first, the rest of the issues of life become so much easier to handle. And so tonight at 6 o'clock at Merritt Assembly of God, our address is 165 North, and the street name is Grove, G-R-O-V-E. We are 2 blocks north of 520. We're 2 blocks west of Courtney, 2 blocks west of Pizza Hut and Home Depot there on Merritt Island. And we will be very good stewards of your time. We read the Christmas story. We celebrate communion. We sing Christmas carols. And I pray a blessing over you. And so you will be able to go on. Our family has a Christmas Eve tradition that my wife originated. I think it was part of her family tradition as well. And so we have our family issues, or not family issues. We have our family celebrations that we do, and I'm sure that you do as well. And so I promise that we will be good stewards of your time, but we want to keep Jesus at the forefront of this Christmas season. So anyway, have a Merry Christmas and really enjoy your day. We're in Luke chapter 1. We've been reading through some of the supernatural encounters and pronouncements and declarations that have taken place in the Christmas story. And we're in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, listen to this, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary says that, or Elizabeth says that Mary is blessed among women. I thank God that he has come and forgiven our sins. That means that we are blessed in the midst of whatever group of people we might be a part of. I'm blessed among men. You're blessed among men or blessed among women. You're blessed among your coworkers. Today, being a person who is blessed is available to anyone who will ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins, to be the Lord of their life. Anyone can be blessed who will say yes to God's mandate and God's direction for their life. And they say, yes, be it unto me according to your word. And so blessed are you, you're blessed, but what you are going to bring forth is also blessed. So I want to encourage you today to not let being blessed be an end of itself, but let it be something that causes you to bring forth something that is blessed as well. Mary was going to give birth to Jesus, and Jesus was going to be blessed. Jesus is blessed. Jesus is blessing. I have this thought that you know is percolating in my spirit about the presence of the Lord is our great blessing, and so I pray that you are blessed this Christmas. But I pray also that you will be a blessing. That was the promise that was given to Abraham. I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. I want to live my life that whatever comes forth, that people will see that it is blessed of the Lord. So, and then she says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of the things which were told her from the Lord. And there was a movie that was done several years ago. It was a remake of an older movie. It was called Angels in the Outfield, and it had the California Angels as the team that was least likely to achieve a championship. I believe the original movie had the Pittsburgh Pirates in it, but in that movie, there's a little boy, and his line, he kept saying, "It could happen. It could happen. It could," you know, he didn't say it over and over again at the same time, but that was the thing. Well, Elizabeth comes and she confirms what Mary has already heard from God. Now, let me tell you, I believe that God will confirm his word. I believe that God will establish his word in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so, whenever he has told you something, I believe that God will send somebody along that will confirm that, not knowing what you have heard. When I knew what God had spoken to me about marrying Cindy, but I didn't tell her what God had told me. She also had heard from God. She knew what God had spoken to her about me. And so we weren't having to try and convince one another. We were actually, when it got down to that point in our relationship, we were confirming what God had told the other person as well. And so I think that's a pretty good rule in life, is that whenever people are speaking, I know that a lot of people go and they people who are operating in prophecy and things like that, that people want to go and run to them and find direction. But I believe the actual thing is you hear from God, you hear what God has to say for you, and then God may use somebody else to confirm that word. He may confirm it in your own private time, but there will be confirmation that comes. look for God, look to God for people, to him to use people to bring you confirmation, not necessarily the life-altering direction. You want to hear from God yourself. Amen? Amen. And Mary responds after she hears that. Let me drop down to verse number 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and he has put down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel." Here Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." We have some business cards at Merit Assembly of God, and they're made out of plastic, and they actually have a little magnifying lens inside of there, and it says, "Come magnify the Lord with us, and let us exalt his name together." I don't think it's got that last part on there because we ran out of word space, but "Come magnify the Lord with us." That is what our privilege is. Now listen, let me tell you that God is already bigger than any known creation. He is larger than everything. You cannot make him larger, but you can magnify him in relation to your problems. You and I, we cannot focus on the size of the giant. When you put the giant and compare them up next to God, then you are going to see that giant, even though it seems large compared to you, is very minuscule compared to God. A mountain might seem ominous and impossible to climb, but when you put it up to God, you see that the scale, that mountain, is very insignificant compared to God. God's word says he holds the depths of the ocean in the hollow of his hand. Wow. That is impressive. That is impressive. So we have the privilege of magnifying God by reminding our circumstances what the word of God says about our God. That's how we magnify him. And it says, Mary says here, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That soul, the seat of the emotions and the seat of the intellect, it's the place where decisions were made. You make the choice. You make a decision of what you are going to do. And she said, "I'm going to use my mind, and I'm going to use my emotions, and I'm going to magnify God. The promises that he's given me, he is more than enough. I'm getting supernatural confirmation from people who don't even know what is going on. They're having encounters with God, and they're telling me that the things that I'm hearing, that they're confirming them, and I'm going to make a conscious decision to magnify God." And so I pray that you would do that this Christmas season, that you would be very intentional and very intent on magnifying God. And you can do that simply by stating just what Mary did. "I will magnify the Lord." David said it this way: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." The psalmist said that. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Mary goes on here in verse number 47, and she says, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." A lot of times we talk about rejoicing about something that is going on, and I've used this verse here a couple of days ago, and that is, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." One of my goals as I get older in life is I don't want to be that grumpy old man. I really don't. And I got a revelation back when I was in my 30s, and that was this: if you don't want to be a grumpy old man, then don't be a grumpy young man. Instead, be one who rejoices and celebrates the goodness of life. Because if we will make the necessary adjustments in our mindset, in our makeup, in our attitude, if we will make those necessary changes now, those will only become more vintage and more priceless and more precious as we grow older. And Mary says, rejoicing in God my Savior, it goes down into the depths of my spirit. It goes beyond just rejoicing in my body. It goes beyond just rejoicing in my emotions. It goes beyond just rejoicing in my intellect. I have a spiritual joy inside of me. I hope that God births this in your spirit to such an extent that the reality of Jesus living in your heart causes your entire countenance and your entire demeanor to change, that when people see you, they see you glowing and vibrant and strong in the joy of the Lord. It goes on in verse 48 and says, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant." He knows where you are. Listen, God gives grace to the humble. The word says, he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I don't want to find myself in opposition to God. I want to humble myself before him, because it's to the humble, those of a lowly state, of a humble condition, that recognize that he's God and we are the maidservants. We're just privileged to be a part of what he is doing. It is those people that he gives grace to. And so, "For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me." What a testimony. This is a young teenage girl who's entire world, her entire life plan is being changed. She knows that there is something supernatural going on inside of her. She's just been given this confirmation, and she says, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." It is one thing for you and I to believe that God has done great things. It's another thing to believe that God is doing great things. It's an entirely different level to know and believe that God has done great things for you. When you see pictures of the nativity scene during this Christmas season, recognize that is a reminder that God the Mighty has done great things for you. When you see a picture of the cross, remember that's evidence that the Almighty God has done great things for you. When you see a rainbow up in the cloud, remember that it is the Almighty God who is honoring his covenant and is still doing great things for you. When you open your Bible, when you go to church, when you go to a cemetery, remember he always has been mighty. He's always going to be mighty, and he doesn't just demonstrate his might and his power to others. He demonstrates it to you and to me. Praise God. We serve a mighty God, but we also serve a holy God. And holy is his name. Holy is his name. I pray that this Christmas season, that you recognize the holiness of God. God is without flaw. He is without imperfection. And it says in his word that he is coming for a bride that is without spot or wrinkle. The scripture says, be holy even as I am holy, says the Lord. So I believe that with Jesus living in our heart, that we're created, we were meant to be, we were redeemed to be a holy people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so holiness is not a list of rules and do's and don'ts and all of that. Holiness is the appreciation and the wonder and the awe of a holy God dwelling inside of us. So I want to remind you, he said, be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. Now, I have a personal view of this. It's something that helps me. If it helps you, great. If it doesn't help you, reject it as Bob. But the same God who said, be holy as I am holy, he's the same one who said, let there be light, and there was light. I believe that God wants to speak holiness into his people, where it's not us trying to corral ourselves, but it is God giving us the victory over wickedness and over all of the sin issues. He wants to empower us to be a holy people. Holy is the name of the Lord. And I just want to remind you again, God doesn't make mistakes. Bob makes mistakes. Bob makes blunders. But God is a holy God, and he is flawless in his wisdom. He's flawless in his logic. So praise God for a holy Savior. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. You and I are privileged today to be living under the mercy of God. Now, we talked about grace earlier in an earlier broadcast, about it being the unmerited favor of God, about it being God's riches at Christ's expense, about us receiving that which we do not deserve. But God is also a God of mercy, and that mercy is this. He doesn't give us what we do deserve. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God for his mercy. You and I are forgiven, and we are supposed to be forgiving. Can I just speak to someone right now? I don't have this in my notes, but I just feel like God wants to say, I pray that you would give a gift to yourself and give a gift to someone else this Christmas season, and that is that you would give both of you the gift of forgiveness, that you would forgive somebody who's hurt you, and that you would quit imprisoning yourself in the walls of bitterness. So be a person who's not only received mercy, but a person who lives mercy, who practices mercy. Now, somebody else is getting ready to get a promise here, and it says, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. There's somebody who's listening to this radio broadcast right now, and you've been walking in the fear of the Lord. You have revered him. You've honored him. You worship him. You love him. You serve him. And yet your children or your parents are not walking in that same passion that you are walking in. And I want to build your faith right now from verse number 50. Luke chapter 1, verse number 50, it says, his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. And so I want to stand in faith with you this morning that God has come to redeem our households. God has come to redeem our loved ones from generation to generation. So if you're there, let me just pray with you today. Father, I want to thank you for this Christmas Eve. And I pray, God, that those who are walking in fellowship and in love with you right now, God, that this promise that is found in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 50, that it would build their faith today and that they would see the reality of their loved ones coming. God, I call the prodigals back home. I call them out of the pig pens, and I call them back to the goodness and the greatness of their Heavenly Father. God, I pray for those who have been faithful in serving you and crying out for you to redeem their loved ones. God, I pray today that you would move from heaven upon the situation of those loved ones. God, I pray that heaven and earth would be mobilized so that the grace and the mercy of God would overtake those in there that are held captive in the strongholds of their life. They're held captive by sin. God, may they be set free today. In Jesus' name, we declare and we say amen. Lord, be it done unto them according to your word. May their households come to know you. God, I pray that no matter how unlikely it looks, that they would continue to stand in faith as you bring their children and their parents back into saving grace with Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for hearing and answering our prayers today in Jesus' name. I do want to ask you that if you would be so kind as to let us know when your family members do acknowledge the goodness and the greatness of God, and they do say yes to his offer of salvation. We would love to celebrate with you. Let me go on to just say one more time. We're going to stop in our study here today, and tomorrow for Christmas Day we will finish the rest of Luke chapter 1. As far as the declarations, the supernatural declarations. But tonight at 6 o'clock is our Christmas Eve communion service. If you do not have anybody to worship with or have fellowship with, we would be honored and privileged if you would join us at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. That will be tonight at 6, and we are just going to have a great time. We have a wonderful church, a church that treats each other like family, loves one another, and we would love for you to be a part of that with us. So Merry Christmas again from Merritt Assembly of God. Merry Christmas from Pastor Bob Arthurs. And I pray that you would experience the reality of the presence of Jesus this week. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
See you.